Study number 12 in our Western American camp meeting in the year 1999. And in our last study, we looked at the games as an idol because they put our minds away from God and place something in His stead. Amusements such as dancing, card playing, chess, checkers, etc., which we cannot approve because heaven condemns them. Yeah, this amusement, Sister White describes in context with getting recreation from hard work. And evidently in her time, when recreation was recommended, also by her, by the way, there were some physicians even who recommended card playing and chess and checkers and so forth. I think it was in Dr. Jackson's home where this place were recommended too, as a form of recreation, as getting the mind, we say, distracted in Germany, from the concentrated work all the time. Now, it is true that recreation is necessary. Jesus also called his disciples, come and rest a while. But what was the subject in those resting periods? What did they do? Perfectly harmless things, not daydreaming. We talk of the recreation of Jesus with his disciples. Let us see what they did. Let's turn to the chapter, Rest a While, Desire of Ages, chapter 38. So we find this on page 361, in the third paragraph. The rest which Christ and his disciples took was not self-indulgent rest. That's interesting. Self-indulgent rest. What is self-indulgent? What means self-indulgent? Often people talk, I indulge in tea, or I indulge in chocolate, or so forth. Isn't it so? So what does self-indulgent mean? It means when appetite rules. That is self-indulgent. The rest which Christ and his disciples took was not self-indulgent rest. The time they spent in retirement was not devoted to pleasure-seeking. Interesting. Was not devoted to pleasure-seeking. They would not seek good feelings in this way. What did they do then? They talked together regarding the work of God and the possibility of bringing greater efficiency to the work. The disciples had been with Christ and could understand him. To them he did not talk in parables. He corrected their errors and made plain to them the right way of approaching the people. He opened more fully to them the precious treasures of divine truth. They were vitalized by divine power and inspired with hope and courage. That is very interesting to see how they took their rest. They were inspired with new hope and courage. Why? What did they do? They talked about the work. Now, didn't they do work all the time? Now, talk about the work. Is this really recreation? It was. Certainly it was. Because they now could talk very directly, very openly, without any care having to be taken of spies and so forth. The stress of this was not there. So they could talk very calmly about these things. How lovely is it when brethren dwell together? Psalm 133. How lovely is it? And that is true. When you dwell with true fellow believers and you can commune with them about the work and the advancement of the cause and so, that is always a season that is of great joy. I never came from that season depressed or stressed out or whatever. It's always relaxing and strengthening. Now, when we do our everyday work, that taxes us. Even the holding of a camp meeting taxes us to some degree, because we have to deal with many minds, and some are not yet ready to receive the message, or they are still stubborn or whatever, and you have to labor, labor, labor. Pray and labor. That is really quite some work. But then when you talk together with those who are really in harmony, and you ask and you speak about the success of the work and then pray together, that is strengthening. And then you go with new strength again into the battle. much more so in the world, where there are a lot of spies around all the time. Can you imagine how Jesus did his labor? He preached the message and constantly he was watched. What does he say wrong now? What does he say wrong now? It was not easy. He grew very weary of it after a while. And then, when he would be able to go into the home of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, he would relax, but not play chess and checkers with them, but he would talk with them about the work of God, and he would gain strength. And that is what we need to learn. Learn to put something completely harmless in the place of chess and checkers, and that is, in our case, talk about the cause and the soon finishing of the work. So I want to leave it with games. Of course, we can go further with this. We know that games are today available everywhere, not only in cards, not only in boards, but they are available also in television, in the computer, and so forth. And we have been at the airport. We had the privilege to stay in a place where there were some of these machines next to us. And alone the voices that came out of them, they were rather strange, I must say. And they really spoke of putting people into another world altogether, into a dream world. And I must say that even in homes of believers, computer games are very normal. And I'm a little bit burdened with this, I must say. That shouldn't be. You sacrifice your children on the altar of the world when you allow these things to happen, truly. Put these things away. They should have no place because they are idols, literally idols. They turn our minds away from Christ. Sports, we wrote down. Of course, we mean especially competitive sports where we try to be better than the other. That is definitely a form of putting the mind away from Christ. Just think of what is popular in America? Baseball or what? Football. Yeah. What we call football is different maybe, but look how many millions are spent for this, how the people are so intensely interested. When we have a soccer game, I think you call this, in Germany, which is a national game and it's maybe a final, nobody's on the streets. Everybody sits before this box, and if the little ball falls into the net, everybody's absolutely happy. If he does not, everybody is absolutely upset. That is really worship. Can you see this? There's no question about it. It's worship. I mean, people might as well bow down before this thing. There is no difference. They spend a lot of money, a lot of time, and all their thoughts are in this. It's totally a different world, a dream world. But the same happens when we ourselves practice this. And when we think then of how we beat the other and so forth, we should concentrate on the soon coming of Christ, really. We can use these things as object lessons, but that's all. That's the end of it. Let's really keep away from it. Now, other sports that are not competitive, I would say so, they can be a problem too. There are things like bodybuilding and so forth. I really must say, think of, first of all, how can we have a better effect in work? That is the first question. How can we build up our muscles and our training and so forth in work? That is much more sensible. Because that's not just doing it for yourself, but you do it actually and accomplish something. That is of much, much more value. However, there may be a place, at least for those who have a one-sided job or a sitting job or whatever, to do some other exercise for movement, because we need exercise, we need movement. So we do jogging here, for example, in the morning in order to have a change of the sitting of all day. That has its place. But let us see that of more value is work. That is something you read in the spirit of prophecy again and again. But again, we must not condemn every exercise. That is clear. There needs to be exercise for health reasons. But very often this is overdone, as you know, right? So, coming to the next point, sensual music. What is sensual music? We could now have long discussions about this. But it's very simple. Every music that puts us in a dream world is idol worshiping, really. And there are so many musics around in the world that are not of even evil character as such. I mean, there are musics that are really evil, you can say. There's no question about it. I think we would all agree with this. There are musics in the world today which exalt evil things. And we have nothing to do with these. From the content of the text as well as from the melody or rhythm or whatever there is. We must really keep apart from it. But even music which is not of that kind of rhythm and so forth, even that can put us into a dream world. Think about this carefully. I have come to the conclusion, and that's the reason why whenever we sing song and I give a choice to you, I ask, does the text fit to the subject? Because I found that very often we tend to choose a certain song not for the content, but rather for the melody. The content is almost forgotten, and the melody is that which puts us on, so to speak. Should it be like this? The melody should only be the support in the back. I mean, a good melody to a text has a great benefit, and the benefit is that we learn the text better. It sticks to the mind. If you want to learn text and combine it with a melody, it's wonderful. That is what the people of the Bible did. Some brother who comes from a Jewish background, he told me that the whole Bible was put into music by the ancient people, which is quite interesting. That means they learned the text in this way. And don't you have this experience that often a text sticks in the mind better than you sing it? Certainly. But when this is lost sight of, when the text becomes unimportant, when the text is rather ununderstandable, if I may say so, some texts you don't understand. You have to really have an interpreter to know what they mean. Other texts are so flat, you don't know what the writer really wants to say. So for what do we choose these songs then? Why do we sing them? Simply for the melody's sake, isn't it so? That is something that needs to be considered. Where is our mind with music? And I want to go a step further here. You know that classical music normally is not condemned but is considered good music, in contrast to rock music or whatever. But let us ask ourselves the question whether this is not also a dream world very often, even classical music. And I have friends, of course, and I had many friends who came from a very musical background. They performed in orchestras, they were professional musicians and so forth. And I usually found that these people lived in a different world. They lived a little bit higher. It was difficult to find some access to them, to really communicate them with them on one level. They always thought they are more educated. Did you find this? They lived in a world of themselves, a world of music, which really is a dream world when you think about this. Now, this is simply my observation. When you go in a concert today and you see there is a stage and the people perform and everybody is sitting, what is happening at the end of the concert? There's big applause. The people are praised, and this has a certain atmosphere in itself. Now, some parents have taken their children into concerts trying to divert their minds from the worldly music and bring them on better quality stuff, so to speak. But I've seen that this doesn't work. When the children are alone, they still turn on the radio with pop music, and then they really like it, in spite of all the efforts of the parents to take them to concerts. And you know why? Because concerts are not having this atmosphere of Christ. You go there, and you are in a total different atmosphere. The atmosphere is one of praise of men, not praise of God. It's an excitement of a different way, that is true. And those who perform, I feel sorry for them because they are so flattered and receive so much praise that they are sick in their mind, really. That is why they are different, in a different level. They are not living in our world anymore, but in a different world. And for the gospel, it's very difficult to reach them. I want everybody to be on guard against this. If your children learn an instrument, okay, let them learn this in view of the fact that they can contribute for the singing of the church. But let the voice and the text be the main point and not the melody and the instrument. That really needs to be very clear. I want to say that singing has a very good, and good music has also a very soothing and good influence on the mind, but it can have also a dreaming influence. It's difficult for me to say exactly what is what, but test yourself. Test yourself, what direction is my mind going? I know of many believers who have had a weakness in this regard. They listened to some group and suddenly they found themselves in an evil world. They were committing adultery and all kind of things. That's usually how it started. They listened to a certain group. I don't know. I can't relate to this but that is what they told me. So be on guard. Music is definitely an instrument that Satan uses. It's also a good instrument on God's hand. I don't want to deny this fact. Sensual music, okay, we call it. Sensual music, that means music that leads into a dream world. The next point is again this subject which Sister White reads much about. Masturbation. I think you understand what this is. I don't need to explain it. And if children don't understand, they should ask their parents. This is definitely an idol that is not only physically destroying the man, but also mentally destroying. And it needs to be touched. Sister White speaks about it quite frequently. If you want to read about it, there's in Child Salvation a whole section on this. Child Guidance, sorry. I'm just looking also in Mind, Character, and Personality, Child Guidance 439 to 468. Sister White calls it often self-abuse. She never calls it with this word, this modern word, I think. Let me read one statement from Testimonies, Volume 2, page 470. When persons are addicted to the habit of self-abuse, it is impossible to arouse their moral sensibilities, to appreciate eternal things, or to delight in spiritual exercises. Impure thoughts seize and control the imagination and fascinate the mind, and next follows an almost uncontrollable desire for the performance of impure actions. If the mind were educated to contemplate elevated subjects, the imagination trained to reflect upon pure and holy things, it would be forfeited against this terrible, debasing, soul and body destroying indulgence. Soul and body destroying indulgence. It would, by training, become accustomed to linger upon the high, the heavenly, the pure, the sacred, and could not be attracted to this base, corrupt, and vile indulgence. That is from Testimonies, Volume 2, 417. In the book Testimonies on Sexual Behavior and Adultery and Divorce, there's a whole chapter on this too. I read here from on page 122. Are you looking where it is? 439 it was, I'm following, in Child Guidance. And now we read from this book Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery and Divorce. The practice of secret habits, that's another word she uses for it, secret habits, surely destroys the vital forces of the system. All unnecessary vital action will be followed by corresponding depression. Among the young, the vital capital, the brain, is so severely taxed at an early age that there is a deficiency and great exhaustion, which leaves the system exposed to disease of various kinds. Sister White actually mentioned that it leads to insanity. Let me quickly turn to the book Child Guidance. Here on page 442, I read here, I have felt deeply as I have seen the powerful influence of animal passions in controlling men and women of no ordinary intelligence and ability. They would be capable of engaging in a good work, of exerting a powerful influence, were they not enslaved by base passions. My confidence in humanity has been terribly shaken. I have been shown that persons of apparently good deportment, not taking unwarrantable liberties with the other sex, were guilty of practicing secret vice nearly every day of their lives. They have not refrained from this terrible sin, even while most solemn meetings have been in session. They have listened to the most solemn impressive discourses upon the judgment, which seemed to bring them before the tribunal of God, causing them to fear and quake. Yet hardly an hour would elapse before they would be engaged in their favorite bewitching sin, polluting their own bodies. They were such slaves to this awful crime that they seemed devoid of power to control their passions. We have labored for some earnestly. We have entreated, we have wept and prayed over them, yet we have known that right amid all our earnest efforts and distress, the force of sinful habit has obtained the mastery, and these sins have been committed. Sister White in one place writes, it's almost impossible to break this habit. That's quite serious. Now, I don't want to discourage here anyone. Please understand that what is impossible with men is possible with God. In other words, you can get free, but you need the grace of Christ. There is no other way. And if this habit is there, you really must overcome this. That is absolutely necessary. There's a case. I could look it up in this thing, but here I don't remember the wordings exactly. Maybe I find it later on. Sister White describes that she refused to pray. The story is this. She was traveling and coming to a church one day where they preached the gospel all day. And then in the evening there was a brother. He was very pale looking and he had lost, I think, a child. And he was feeble and sick and had not strength enough to feed his family. And he desired that Brother and Sister White would pray for them. He said he had waited for a long time for them to come. He was happy that they were there now. And he desired that they would pray for him. Sister White and her husband said, well, we are tired now. We have had the labor of preaching all day. And we wish to be excused. Tomorrow we can do this. So they retired. And Sister White says, I was determined not to pray for anyone unless the Spirit of God would direct. Then both knelt together down and prayed for clear guidance in this matter. They prayed for this brother and said, what is your will? What shall we do? And then they went to rest, and the Lord showed her in a dream that this man practiced the secret vice. The next morning, and they could not pray for them, it wouldn't be answered. So next morning they came to him and told him, look, brother, we can't pray for you because you first have to overcome this. It would be labor lost. If God would heal you, same thing would come back again. So they spoke with him about this matter, and he admitted that this was his problem. Even marriage was no protection against this. So I don't know how the story went on exactly, but Sister White makes the point out of it, how really soul-destroying this is, and God cannot answer prayers. We may pray and pray and pray for the solution of problems. They will not be solved unless we cooperate with God and cut off from our idols. And this is one very serious idol. And I want to stress again, we are very different here than the world is. If you go to worldly medicine, that is a total different matter altogether. So we are a strange people, but let us be. I wrote in this context also tight and sensual clothing. We are studying a little bit here dress reform. I look at this from this viewpoint now of the weakness in this regard. Tight clothing naturally stimulates certain organs of the bodies which which make the person weak too. That is one of the reasons why clothing should be loose. Another point is sensual clothing, of course, which we have talked about this afternoon at the lunch period. Good, now we come to the next point. Where are we? Bad conversation. Yes, bad conversation. It's difficult to see here. It's easier there. Bad conversation is definitely also an idol that needs to be cut off. It is very difficult at times to avoid bad conversation because we are in the world, but even among professed believers, there are sometimes communications which are not uplifting, really not at all. And what shall we do? Now, these conversations, they are often filled with jokes, but these jokes have a character as to indicate something that is not quite clear and pure. So, for what purpose are these jokes made when they are not, I mean, these jokes that indicate something impure? In order to bring, go, let fantasy go. That is the point. I mean, there may be several motives behind it, but that is the idea that Satan has. He wants to put the mind away from Christ and fill it with things that are not pure. When we are in the world, we have constantly these kind of evil talks, and what we need to take with us sometimes is some wax put in the ear. And if we cannot, we have to open this eye and open this eye as well so that it can go through, this ear, that it can go through. It is possible, even in a bad environment, to fix our mind on Christ. It may be not easy. We may need to train this, but it is possible. I want to tell you a little experience here. At the Polish camp meeting and Czech camp meeting, which were together, we were situated in a room like this, but it was second floor. Under us was a restaurant. And over the week, we had two weddings there. And you know what this means? It means a lot of music, and loud music too, and not of uplifting kind at all. And what you hear most is the bass, of course. And boom, boom, boom. I had to really speak up very loud in these meetings in order to make myself heard. It was not all the time. As I said, there were two or three weddings. There were two weddings and a golden wedding, so the golden wedding wasn't too bad. But the other ones, they were rather loud. And I had really to shout. And you know, what should we do? We couldn't go somewhere else. We said to ourselves, we will concentrate our minds on Christ. We will not be distracted. It is a school for us. And we said, thank you that we are in this school. We want to concentrate our mind of Christ. And everybody did, and we had a blessed camp meeting. So if God places us in these circumstances, then fix your mind on Christ and allow nothing to distract you. That is the counsel I can give you. And God will bless you. But if you can, run away from these places. That is now concerning music, but bad conversation is the same. Conversation can really be a mighty factor in daydreaming. And I really must say to our dear sisters, especially, guard your words. Speak a little bit less sometimes. I don't say this in accusation, but in love, because very often the mind is carried away and we are soon found in a direction which is not good. But the brothers the same, I really must say. We must all be on guard. The reason why I talk about the sisters, they tend more to think as they speak. That is to speak first and then think. That is a tendency, simply. But this is something we can train. Let us train to think and then to speak. But as I said already, brothers have other weaknesses. So I'm not pointing here to the weakness of just one part. Let us look at the next, worldly information. What do we mean with this? How can worldly information lead to daydreaming? News, that's right. News, that is something. And here the brothers are especially weak, I suppose. At least that is my weakness, or has been. I've really battled against this. News you can get a lot of news in the world, in the radio, in the television, in the computer, in the newspaper. That's right. Everywhere you can get a lot of news. And, well, there's much news in the world around, but what is usually the content of news? Impure things. That is of greatest interest. When President, Clinton had some problems in this area, that was more important than the most important things in the world history. The details of his life were so important that it swallowed up everything else. That's interesting, isn't it? And that is, why is this so? Because Satan knows how to put the mind in a dream world. And what is also very important, when the parties quarrel with each other, who has the best argument, who has the last word, who can shout the loudest? That are the questions that are so important. And I discovered that following the news very closely and very regularly, even the smaller political questions and so forth, you very soon become a politician yourself. You might as well stand on a pulpit and hold a speech in favor of that or that idea of the state. Why? Because you have listened to so many commentaries and so many ideas about this matter that now I should say something about it. And that is not really what God wants. It is not preparing us for the soon coming of Christ. I excuse myself in this regard with saying, well, I need to be informed. Who knows what is happening in the world? But I found whenever we have camp meetings and I have no news information whatsoever for at least 10 days or more, weeks in a row, I miss nothing. There's no problem, really, in this regard. That is another point, that history repeats itself. I believe that is my conclusion I've drawn so far, that there is a place for listening to the news. That is the important news, but then we must turn it off and go our way. It is not of benefit to get too much of this information, because it's so much about impure things, so much about violence, so much about strife of men, and so little of real information. Of course, we have some information of catastrophes and so forth, which is also quite exciting. Sports is a great part of news, that's right, which is totally unimportant for us. The lotto numbers, or how do you call them? The lottery numbers. Well, totally unimportant. And yet, this thing goes and we listen. I really must say that is something we need to cut off, and I need to cut off. And since it is my weakness, I know it is the weakness of others also. And I wish that we are really free and uncared, that we concentrate on the soon coming of Christ and not on these things. That really must be our whole effort, our whole aim. Think of all the time that is lost in this. In fact, since the international camp meeting, I've made the habit of making an account not only of my money but also of my time. And I divide my time in 2-minute units. No, 3-minute units. Every 3 minutes I write down, what do I do now? What do I do now? And I did this with news listening, the normal habit and so forth. And I was quite surprised when I summed it up at the end of the day. I thought, what? So much time? I made accounts, columns, and I wrote down how much time I would spend for myself, that is washing, sleeping, news information, and so forth, all these things together. How much time would I spend for others, which is, for example, giving studies or writing and so forth. And I thought, well, most of my time, 90%, is surely for others. But no, I found that it was just 50%, and I was quite surprised, really. I was quite amazed about it. That was quite a revelation to me. And I determined to cut off certain things. Still, it is not such a great percentage, the time I spend for others. Still, it's much for me, because I sleep a lot of the time, and that's for me. And I have to wash. When I go jogging, it's for me, isn't it? I need to have some time for me so that I can serve. I accept this. That is clear. But still, let's ask ourselves the question, where do I spend my time and how do I spend it? make a bookkeeping of the time as you make of the money. And that is in connection with news information, worldly information. Good, coming now to the next point, that is irregularity, overwork and stress. One thing I've definitely found is this, that when people have stress, then they always, then they fall into temptation. When they have a stressed mind, that is the time when they become weak and Satan takes advantage of them. And that is usually when they are overworked and stressed out. There was a brother who had this problem with impure pictures, and he said, it always happened when I was tired after work. It's interesting. And I could tell you many stories like this. That is so. Now, when boys and girls are together, what is the time they like to stay best together? Most of them. Nighttime, yeah. Late in the evenings. Why is this so? What is the thought behind it? The thought behind it is, at nighttime, our nervous system becomes weaker. That means the reasoning powers do not have the same strength anymore to control the feelings as in daytime. The feelings get stronger, the reasoning powers get weaker. That is the time of feelings, not the daytime. The nighttime is the day of feelings. Therefore, we should sleep at nighttime. Yes, if we really want to be strong personalities, we need to sleep at nighttime in order to be always under control of ourselves. Irregularity also contributes to this very clearly. Now, you may say that I have a very irregular life. That is very true. When traveling from place to place, it is irregular to some extent. But even though it is, there can be other factors which counterbalance it. I have found, for example, if I am extra careful in diet, that this counterbalances this irregularity, which is of necessity there. And it may be that you sometimes have to work more than normal because you are standing in the service of Christ and you can't run away. You are needed. Then you have to be the more careful with the other factors. Can you see this? And then you can be strong. May this be the case for all of us. Now, late nights, indolence, bad diet habits, drugs, hypnosis, fashion, perfume, false religion. We'll talk about these idols tomorrow, as our time is over now. So if you have any questions or contributions to this study so far, please write it down. In our next session, we will speak about it. We take a break of 12 minutes again and meet at 6:10, okay?